This week we're studying John chapter 6, which has to do with the bread of life homilies, or actually dialogue that Jesus has with the people. And you have to see where this is taken context, that Jesus was in the desert. Jesus had just worked a sign of feeding 5,000 people. Actually, they say it was 5,000 men, not including women and children, with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I don't know about you, but I haven't experienced someone feeding a crowd of 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Have you ever seen that? Wouldn't that be a great sign? If you saw that, if you experienced it, say if you were part of the crowd and you experienced this multiplication of loaves and multiplication of fish and you ate it, wouldn't that be a sign? But to show you the people's unbelief in Jesus, Jesus had just worked this sign and they were looking for him. And then they found him. And Jesus said, "You're not looking for me because you're seeking me. You're looking for me because you ate the loaves and were filled." That was yesterday's gospel. Meaning the people were seeking Jesus, not for Jesus, but because they wanted food. They wanted to be fed. Sometimes our intentions are so impure that we don't seek Jesus for who he is. We seek what we can get from Jesus. And as soon as we get what we want from Jesus, it's see you later. I got it. See you, God. I will no longer go to church anymore. I got what I wanted. See how selfish that is? It's all about I. It's all about me. It's not about the other person. It's very selfish. In any relationship, if you're in a relationship and you're just taking from the other person, then the relationship is going to fall apart because you're not giving anything of yourself. You have to give of yourself. You have to give in order to receive. You can't just take and be selfish. If you take in life and be selfish, you're going to be alone because you're never giving. And that's what we call, you know, the sin of gluttony. It's like this with big arms and just taking everything into your mouth. But you're never giving. You're never giving of anything. And so after Jesus works this great miracle, the crowd says to him, now just think, he just fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 pieces of fish. And they say, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" Do you see the people's unbelief already? What sign can you do? He just worked a sign. He just worked a great sign. And then they said, "What can you do?" He just did a great sign. He took the bread and Jesus blessed it. He gave thanksgiving. And then he gave the bread to his apostles to distribute to the people. See that Eucharistic context that's there? Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, gives thanksgiving, and then distributes it. It's a sign of the Eucharist. It's a sign of what we do at Mass, what the priest does at Mass. And they say, "What can you do? What sign can you work?" See, people are already beginning with unbelief. They don't believe in Jesus, even though Jesus just worked a great miracle for them. And then they quote the Old Testament. They say, "Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." What are the people talking about there? They're talking about when the Hebrews, the Jews, were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. And then God frees the people from slavery in Egypt. And then they're in the desert. And when they're in the desert, they're supposed to go to the Holy Land, you know, Israel, the land of their ancestors. And it's only supposed to be a 40 days walk from Egypt to the Holy Land. It would have only taken the people about 40 days. But you know what they did in the desert? They complained. They complained. They murmured. There's nothing worse than having someone, than living with someone who just complains all the time. Just complaining about life, about the world, about politics. Complain, 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 complain. Doesn't that drive you crazy? It drives me crazy. If you live with someone and they're just complaining, you just want to say, shut up. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Give thanksgiving. Don't complain. Opposite of complaining, of the sin of complaining and murmuring, is thanksgiving. You give thanksgiving. You give thanksgiving for the gifts. Think about it. The people were just slaves for 430 years. God set them free from slavery for 430 years in the desert. He's going to bring them to a land filled with milk and honey. And the people are in the desert, and they're complaining that there's no food or water. They're just complaining, complaining, complaining. And so Moses intercedes for the people, and God says, I've heard their complaining. You know, it's driving God crazy. I've heard their complaining. And so he said, I will give them food to eat. I will give them bread from heaven to eat. And God said, they will not only eat it because of their complaining. They will not only eat this bread for one day. They will eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They will eat it until it's coming out of their nostrils, until the food becomes loathsome to them because of their complaining. And so God says, you want food? I will give you food. And so God rains down this bread from heaven to the earth, has hoarfrost on it. When the people wake up in the morning, they find it and they say, what is it? And the word what is it in Hebrew means manna. Manna literally means what is it? And so then the people gathered it up, and God fed the people with this manna, with this bread from heaven that came down to the earth in the desert. Not for 40 days, for 40 years the people ate manna. 40 years. Can you imagine eating the same food every day for 40 years? Wouldn't you get sick of that food? It's like eating chicken every single day. And you just get sick of it. I'm a variety person. I like variety in my diet. But they ate manna for 40 years. So this was part of the people's history. And so that's why they said he gave them bread from heaven to eat for 40 years. So the people knew what it was like to eat bread from heaven that God gave them. And so Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you. It was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. So my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So is Jesus talking about this time of Exodus and the desert of the 40 years of the Father giving the people true bread from heaven? Jesus is going to turn it around. And he said, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Is Jesus referring back to the manna in the desert? No, Jesus is referring now to himself. That he's the true bread that comes down from heaven. And he's the true bread which gives life to the world. That the people in the desert, they ate the bread from heaven, but they still died. They were not given eternal life. It wasn't bread to give them eternal life. Jesus is the true bread which comes down from heaven, in which we eat and he gives us true life. For his body and blood gives us true life. And so the people say, sir, give us this bread always. We want this bread always. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. That if you're hungry in life and you're thirsty in life, you're hungering for something more than just the things of this earth. You're thirsting for something more than just the things of this earth. Jesus is the bread of life. If you come to Jesus, you will never hunger again. And if you believe in Jesus, you will never thirst again. And notice he puts faith in there. That you have to have faith to believe that he's the bread of life. To believe that he gives his life for us and we receive his body and blood and Holy Communion. Every time we go to Mass and go to Holy Communion, we have to ask the Holy Spirit for the gift of faith. Because it takes faith to believe that a priest, an anointed one of God, can take bread and take a cup of wine and pronounce the words of consecration, invoke the Holy Spirit, and that bread and that wine are no longer bread and wine, but now become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. It takes faith. Why? Because according to our senses, nothing changes. According to our five senses, nothing changes. It still looks like bread, still looks like wine, still feels like bread, still looks like the substance of wine. It's a liquid. It smells like bread and smells like wine. I got a nose like a dog. I can smell anyone out. You know, I can smell that when I'm up on the altar. I can smell what wine it is. I'm like, oh, is that Chianti Merlot? You know, what kind of wine is that? Has all the characteristics of bread and wine. And when you come up to receive Holy Communion, you see bread. It looks like bread. If you receive it in your hand, it feels like bread, or you receive it on your tongue, feels like bread, has all the characteristics of bread, and yet you need faith to believe that it is the true body of Jesus Christ. That is why after the priest consecrates the host and the wine, he says the mystery of faith. That's why we have to have faith. That's why Jesus says, whoever believes in me will never thirst. If you believe in the Eucharist, you will never thirst again. But you have to ask for that gift of faith. Every time you come in to Mass, you have to ask for that gift of faith. Do you realize that when you receive Holy Communion, this I was teaching to children years ago when I was doing missions. And the children got it. It was great. The children provided me with like 100 homilies after that. Do you realize that when you eat Holy Communion, you're eating it. You're eating the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Where do you see the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ? In the Divine Mercy image. The Divine Mercy image is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Now imagine if you were to take the Divine Mercy image and eat it. Eat it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you were to take that image and all of a sudden you eat it? Now suppose the image, I mean, you wouldn't probably eat an actual image, but suppose the image became bread that you could eat. And you ate that image of Divine Mercy. And that image was within inside of you. The Divine Mercy image was inside of you. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ was within you. What would happen? You know what the children said to me? Children gave me this homily. They were looking at the Divine Mercy image, and they said, well, Father, if you ate that Divine Mercy image, you would, the rays of Divine Mercy would come forth from you. Children told me that. And I said, you're right. You're right, that you would radiate with the blood and the water, the mercy of Jesus toward others. You would have Jesus within you, and you would be radiant with glory like St. Stephen, where he was radiant with the glory of God because he had God within him. That's what Holy Communion does. It changes us. It makes us like the person of Jesus Christ. That is why it is the greatest gift that God could give us here on this earth, is to receive Holy Communion. Receive Holy Communion with that gift of faith. Ask God for that gift of faith. It will transform you and make you more and more like Jesus Christ. If you receive Holy Communion every day, then you will become more and more like Jesus Christ every day. You'll notice it slowly. It won't be overnight, but you will notice it slowly, because you cannot help but be transformed if you're receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day. That is why the promise on Divine Mercy Sunday is great, because Jesus promises eternal life to those who receive Holy Communion, in the state of grace, of course. But if you receive Holy Communion, he promises to raise you up on the last day. He promises eternal life. And that is such a great grace that we can receive. It's a gift that we receive. We don't deserve it, but God wants to give us that gift anyway. Why? Because God loves us, and God is merciful, and he came down from heaven to earth to give us eternal life. Receive the bread of life. Believe in the bread of life, and the bread of life will give you true and everlasting life.
Hello, I'm Father Thaddeus Langton of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, and I'm excited to let you know about my new podcast with Father Timothy Childers called Keeping It Marian. To access the podcast, simply visit divinemercyplus.org or search Keeping It Marian on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on whatever podcast platform you prefer. I want to share with you the riches of the charism of the Marian Fathers, which is the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, how it touches our lives as consecrated priests and religious, and how this mystery can bear fruit in your life, especially by keeping the Word of God and pondering it in our hearts in imitation of our Blessed Mother. I hope you'll join us. Again, it's called Keeping It Marian. Thank you, and God bless you.
Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.